Welcome back.
Oh yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment here of the Vinny Eastwood Show. I was just explaining to my guest, Arnold Wiley, over the break. He was thanking me for giving him the opportunity to come on here, and I was commenting that, well, we both were in agreement, really, that he was a little bit slow and maybe a bit nervous in the start of the interview, having never been on radio before. And so, you know, I ask people to be patient with this show from time to time when I have an experienced guest, because they'll never become experienced guests unless somebody gives them a chance. Okay, so that's my role here to play. And more importantly, it's not that big a deal for me, like to have Arnold on for 2 hours, talk about the topics that he wishes to say. Turn it into archives, including commercial-free archives and a short clip and 4 YouTube videos and stuff like that. You know how much effort that is for me, ladies and gentlemen? Nothing. I do it every day. I could just as easily do it as not. So when people are grateful for me for doing these things, needing to understand, don't feel obligated in any way, because I haven't actually given you any extra effort than what I would normally do any other day of the week, okay? And this is something that I feel very, very strongly about, because I don't want anybody to like me and go, oh, Vinny, you're so great, and blah, blah, blah. People do this all the time, and I don't like it. I want to be seen as the bad guy, basically, and portray myself in as terrible a light as possible so that people won't trust me implicitly, so that people will question what I say. And they will find out that most of the things that I say are true, but they'll also find out some of the things that I'm wrong about. Okay, and that's the thing. You've got to bring on as many different perspectives, opinions, and contrary evidence as possible into your sphere of vision before you can ascertain what the truth is. Because swinging to either extreme opinion on one side, extreme opinion on the other, somewhere in the middle is the truth. And I say that the key to balance is being able to swing to either extreme and still being able to come back to the center. Arnold, welcome back. You were talking about the Roman law and how it's been manipulated over the years.
Right. The point that we were talking about, I guess, was the codification of the
Roman law. You're a bit low there, mate.
Okay, is that better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about the codification of Roman law, and in that respect, it was very different to the common law. The common law was, you know, just built up of all of this history, all of this precedent and case law, and it was also built up of the practice of the people. And this the description of the common law today gets distorted quite severely by the people who control the information, or would like to control the information. If you go to the New Zealand Parliament website and they talk about common law, they say it's just case law. You know, it's just precedent. And if you go to Wikipedia, yeah, pretty much the same thing. Even if you go to a recent edition of Black's Dictionary, they say, oh, common law is just precedent. But if you go back to earlier versions, then it's not as simple as that. They talk about it coming from two sources. They talk about it coming from the consent and the practice of the people. And secondarily, they talk about it coming from case law, where the judges have interpreted the principles of common law and then applied them to the case at hand. So what's happened, you know, in real terms is that the true origin of the common law has just been censored out of, you know, the mainstream, information, you know, that people get fed from the system. And it's just the essential part of the common law that they've cut out, you know, because it goes back to that Judaic code that was implemented, or at least parts of it were implemented by King Stephen the Great. And, you know, again, that ties back into, you know, the conflict between Rome and Judaism. You know, one of the passages from the Gospels was called the tribute passage. And, you know, it's quite a well-known passage. You know, there's this coin, and he's asked, you know, well, how, you know, should you pay tribute to Caesar or not? Is this lawful? And, you know, he responds, well, you know, whose image is this on the coin? And they say, Caesar's. And he says, yeah, well, you know, render to Rome what is Rome, and render, you know, to God what is God's. So there's very much that distinction there between his world and the world of Rome. And that's the distinction that I'm trying to express in the website, which is acts. Acts injunction is one word you may have mentioned. It was, well, it sounded a bit like arts, so I just wanted to clear that one up if anyone's looking for that and can't find it. So we've got this sort of, it's a sort of a problem, I guess, in that the civil system has been, you know, very well codified, you know, written by later writers and so forth, and the English system is very much ad hoc. You know, you've got to hunt around for all these maxims to try and find something that works, and then there's all of this precedent and stuff, which makes it quite difficult for people who want to set up a system, unless you've actually been brought up in with a background of English common law. It's not something that they can, you know, take and easily apply to, you know, some kind of system of administration that some new country is going to implement. But the Roman law, it's great for that. You know, it's all been written down, and that I think is, you know, it's the main reason that it's been introduced so heavily in Europe, and it's become pretty much the predominant legal system in terms of controlling people.
Why is it so effective at doing it?
I guess it's because...
How has it not been exposed?
Because it's just part of everyday life. You know, people say, well, we're in democracy, and democracies use the civil system, so, you know, if we want to have a say, then we've got to be part of the system. It's just, you know, people who want to make rules, they need to have some kind of platform or administration that supports them in that process. And the common law doesn't really do that. And Parliament came along on top of that as a representative system. But, yeah, civil law makes it a lot more accessible for people to have a say, but it's also very easy for that system to be corrupted, and that, you know, the people who make the rules, if they don't have, you know, possession of the facts, you know, especially in terms of a democracy, if you're just being fed bullshit by untruths by the mass media, then, you know, there's no hope for democracy, because, you know, it's all based on a fallacy. That's, I guess, you know, it's the distinction between the civil system and the common law system is that the civil law system is based on what people want, and the common law system is based on what's good for the people. You know, if it was good for them, they'd adopt it, whereas Rome was more concerned about what they wanted and how are we going to get people to do what we say.
So what's the point here? I mean, like, we've got this whole system. What's the end game here? I mean, both for them and for you. What do we want out of this?
The end game, I guess, is to you know, take it back right back to the source. You know, where did these systems originate, and what were the philosophies behind these systems? The Roman system, it drew heavily on the Greek system. Greek system in turn drew on the system of Media and Persia, which in turn drew from the Babylonian system. In the Gospels, I think it's one of Peter's writings, he talks about Rome figuratively as being Babylon, and the idea of Babylon or Babel crops up with reference to the European Union. They've got a picture, you'll see it on the website. It's there in the top right-hand corner of this European poster, and it's got this big sort of semi-completed circular structure. And then there's another picture of the Tower of Babel by some painter. These are essentially the same building, you know, same state of completion, same circular sort of structure. And the point is that all of these systems of law go back, right back to the Tower of Babel. And the thing about Babel was this guy called Nimrod who set it up, and his characteristic was that he was a hunter, he was a predator, and it's a predatory system that's grown out of this. And, you know, it's predatory in terms of the people who make the rules. It's to their benefit, it's not to the benefit of the general population or populations who might come in conflict with their particular country. So, yeah, we've got this whole predatory thing that it's been built on, and that's in conflict with the more natural approach to justice.
Okay. I get it. And unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show. What I found interesting about predators, and this is a sample from Africa, when lions are approaching herds of animals, be they zebras, be they wildebeest, it only takes about 6% of the herd to notice that there's a lion there before instantly the rest of the herd is suddenly aware and starts running away and save themselves. I think what we're trying to do here is warn the herd about the predators in our midst. And thank you very much for doing your part with that, Arnold Wiley from axeinjunction.info. You can check out his website there. Thanks so much for your time today, brother.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have yourself a nice day. And also, after the show today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be having a quick Skype chat. So if you want to join and have a chat with me, it's unrecorded, it's off the record, you can talk about whatever you want, and you can join us there in the chat room, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I'll give you my Skype name, and you can just give me a ring, and then we'll all have a wee chat and a wee catch up. Go for your life, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.